Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Love it. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Wednesday to you. Great to be here with you this morning. Chat is already a buzz and a flame. And it's such a good feeling to wake up and you put the chat on. You see so many tier ones already in there, ready to let their voices be heard here on Ben and Woods this morning. Obviously, a lot to talk about from last night's game. Thanks for watching us on the YouTube feed. You can just go to YouTube, search Ben and Woods. We have a Twitch community, apparently, which I didn't know a lot about, and I still don't. And of course, you know, your old standard radio. If you listen on the radio, we appreciate that as well. If you want to see our faces, you can watch on YouTube or Twitch or anything like that. But
it's all the same.
All the same, man. You're still getting Ben and Woods. And for that, we thank you very, very much. Very, very appreciative of that. The more of you that listen delays the inevitable of having to get a real job someday. So I just can't thank you enough for being here. So it's good to be here. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, is here as well. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning. And while we are a San Diego-based radio show, I'm always amazed at the far-flung locations where we have audience. Obviously, you know, Welsh Friars in Wales.
Yeah.
We have people in Italy, and this morning we've got in Japan. C. Bunag says, tuning in from Japan, was LOLing so much at your mouth breathing segment yesterday.
Yeah. Got a lot of feedback on the mouth breathing segment yesterday. I did have several, again, concerned audience members send me different ways that maybe I could get a better night's sleep. Somebody did send me the link to that mouth tape. Now, Paulie, your wife Megan recommended the mouth tape. Does she tape her mouth?
No.
No.
She might have in the past.
Does she tape your mouth?
Does she tape your mouth?
I've tried it, and it just comes off, and it doesn't end up working. Like, I don't know if I, like, roll over, and it comes off on the, like, pillow or something.
Well,
but
part of the big problem for me and my sleep and sleep apnea is I'm a side sleeper or a stomach sleeper. So if you have a big Top Gun apparatus on your face, you can't sleep on your side and you can't sleep on your face. I have to then learn how to sleep on my back. When I'm sleeping on my back and I've got that thing pumping air into me, I feel like something's, well, this sounds weird, but I feel like something's sitting on my face. Normally that'd be okay. But not when I'm trying to sleep. I really want some rest in that situation. So I don't know that it's ever going to work for me. Our boss, Michael, our big boss, in the chat yesterday said, I just ordered you a mouthpiece, Woodsy. Your health is very important to us. And I said, well, thank you, man. That's above and beyond. So I'll wait to see that. I'll see how that works. People are saying mouth tape. I go, yeah, it's a real thing. There are people that have this. It's this like sleep tape and they put it over their mouth. And again, if I'm laying there at nine, I'm like, oh, all right, pod's just won. Time to get some shut eye. I don't know that I would feel comfortable laying there going. I feel like I would feel like I was a hostage or being kidnapped. So again, I think it's probably mostly mental in that aspect, but.
So
I don't know, man.
Have you tried like a big ball with straps that you can put around your head? Maybe a red, red ball, perhaps.
Now we highlighted your conscious breathing.
It's awake breathing.
Yeah, this was awake breathing.
Yeah.
Do you snore a lot?
Come on. We've played my snores on the air before. Hannah sent them years ago. Back at, I think at the old station, she would text Paulie audio clips of me in bed like this. And she would, because I would filter over to my back. And then once I'm on my back,
that's when it gets loud.
And she's like, oh my God, never marry an elderly man. And I'm like, this is 6 years ago. Babe, if I'm like this at 43, wait till you see me at 60. She's going to be wiping me at 60 years old. I don't know that she knows that yet. So, yeah, man. Today I feel pretty well rested. I get fired up, man. I'm usually shot out of a cannon at 6. And by about 8:30, I'm like, does anyone have a cot that I could possibly lay down on? I'm just exhausted by 8:30. But I think part of it is coming in here as fired up as I am every day. It's my favorite. It's my favorite time of day as soon as that music ends and we get to start the show. I still love that rush very, very much. So thank you guys for your concern. Thank you for all your tips. While I really don't appreciate your musical or movie or television recommendations, I do appreciate your recommendations for health and things like that. I really do, and I take those into account.
Yeah, just so no one worries too much about you. You went for a checkup recently, yeah. and got mostly good
reviews,
good bill of health from your doctor. So,
well, you guys remember? I think it was the start of last year. I said, look, you know, this year I need to make sure. You look at your little kids and you're like, man, you read stories of dads dropping dead and you're like, oh, all right, I don't want to do that to my kids. So change the diet a little bit, exercise more, certainly, probably still not enough. I really need about 5 days a week of hitting it pretty hard. And I'm usually about 3 to 4. And, you know, the diet comes and goes. It has its good days and bad, but better than it has been. But the sleep one, man, the sleep one is the one that scares me, because sleep apnea can just make your heart can stop, you know? So trying to work on that. So beginning of last year, I told you guys, like, hey, man, I'm going to be at the doctor a bunch. I went for I checked every orifice in my body last year. I mean, I had them with a fine tooth comb. I did calcium tests for my heart, blood pressure. I'm on a little bit of a low dose blood pressure medication, things like that. It's important. And obviously dove headlong into my mental health, last year. So trying to be the complete package here, because it does freak me out. I don't want my kids to grow up without me. So that's like my biggest fear. And I think for any parent out there, that's probably it.
A little harder to get to sleep last night if you were a Padres fan, just from the stress, excitement, ultimately disappointment of that game last night. We'll obviously get into all of the details of what happened, but I think emotionally, well, very frustrating that they didn't win that game. I wasn't too in the big picture, like, it's fine. It's one loss, and they're still in really, really good shape going toward the end of this season. A missed opportunity, to be sure, but not something that is going to be crippling or that we're going to look back and go, if they had just won that game. At least I hope that we don't have that feeling. If they had just won that game against the Astros on that Tuesday night at Petco Park, things would be different.
Well, you know, remember when it's not healthy, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? I mean, yeah, we could play that game all day if we wanted to. We could do a whole segment of, had we just beat the Rockies, or where would we be if we had beaten the Angels, or if so-and-so didn't sweep us? And yeah, I mean, if you let yourself think about, if you let yourself live that way, not just about baseball, but about life, you know, like, you drive you crazy. It will make your hair fall out from going.
Do you have any moments, like, in your life, not in sports, but, like, if I maybe had just taken this fork in the road
and told everybody? Hundreds and hundreds.
But you don't know. It could have turned out much worse.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
I always like to feel I've taken the correct fork every time. No,
that's
probably
not
true. But I like to think that I did.
Nobody has.
Nobody has.
Nobody. I mean,
you would be you if you hadn't gotten into some of that trouble.
That's true.
You just never know what the kind of some of the bad stuff and the bad decisions may be exactly what you need later in life.
Yeah, no question. No question. And I do often think about, I usually think about, I can't believe a seat where I'm at today. That's the one that like really freaks me out. Like really freaks me out. Had this happened, you never would have done this. Had this happened, you never would have done this. So, but no, I mean, with baseball, it's just lamenting, you know, series losses or series sweeps really does you no good. And I think if you're a Padres fan this morning, I won't tell you how to feel, but I, as a Padres fan, I still feel very, 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 very confident and very excited about this team. And even the way they played last night, certainly. I mean, there is something magical about this team. I know they lost. No time for moral victories. But holy smokes, man. From a baseball fan perspective, that was one of the best games you'll ever see. It had everything you could have asked for. It had drama. It had an old guy coming in. I mean, it had every single thing. It had a guy taking his shoe off, which is not something you see in a lot of baseball games. It had horrific umpiring, which is something you see in most baseball games. It was incredible. And yes, I wanted to win that game so badly, and it was hard to go to sleep after. But man, what a team this is!
Yeah,
what a team.
And let's be clear: if and when the Padres reach the postseason, they're not going 13-0 on their way
Correct.
To a World Series title.
So I mean, kind of brace yourself.
At least I really, really doubt it. So we're going to have to embrace the fact and acknowledge the fact that there's going to be at least a couple of more agonizingly excruciating losses. Even on the road to a parade, those are going to happen, games like last night. And you have to really be able to cope with it as a fan, or you're going to drive yourself crazy.
No question. It is.
Games aren't getting any easier.
No. Oh, God, no. That's a great point. I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, and even if the Padres, Ben, even if they rolled through the playoffs, steamrolled through the playoffs, which I don't think they will, like, it's
that almost
possible.
Never happens.
It's possible, but I you know, even if they rolled through it, the games are still massively excruciating. They're just every time. I mean, last night was a perfect example of the way that I consume high leverage, high tension baseball. When Robert Suarez came to pitch, I just got up and walked out of my bedroom and just started walking around the house. Now I had the game in my hand, but I could not lay there in good conscience and just sit back and watch casually. When he got the last out, I went, and then went in and got a snack, because I just eat snacks from the seventh inning until the game's over every night. I'm not even hungry.
There's no way to avoid. The Padres could score six in the first inning of every game in the postseason, and the second the other team gets like a runner or two
you're
on.
You're sick. You're like, oh my God.
All right.
God.
They're one swing away from getting back
away.
In this thing.
Cut it in half.
I mean, there's just no way to avoid the stress as a fan this time of year.
Yeah, man. But it had everything. And listen, I'm looking at this morning, and Craig, one of Craig Elston's regular guests, I talk about him all the time. I love this guy, but it's Craig's guest, so we don't have him on, but I shout him out every chance I get. Letters to AJ on Substack. Wrote a piece this morning, Benny, and the name of the piece was Risk Aversion. Now, I had a different name for it. I had Scared Baseball. That was in my mind after watching last night's game, and I want to talk about it today. Why did the Padres play a little bit close to the vest, a.k.a. a little scared, last night? And I think it's a fair conversation. And I don't know that that's the best way to roll through the rest of the season. And I think there's a couple of examples we can point to. But when I woke up to this piece called Risk Aversion, I went, same page. So if it's on Substack, go subscribe to it. He breaks it down. I don't know when the hell this guy has the time to do this. Like, he took all my thoughts and organized them neatly in his blog with video evidence and examples of everything I was thinking about.
So, sounds like even if you wanted to have him on, we couldn't. He probably stayed up all night
doing this piece.
The game ended at like 10:30 last night.
And I'm sitting here going, this is brilliantly done. Like, it's really well written. Some of it's so far over my head, but the main gist, a couple of things. He actually forgot one thing that I noticed early about the Pods playing a little bit scared.
All right, tease that, because I didn't see it, and I'd love to kind of get your thoughts on that. So why don't we jump into that?
Cautious.
We'll set the menu for a big league Wednesday when we come back, and then all the highlights. We got the Incorporator from Jesse Agler as well. So stay tuned. We're just getting started. Haven't even really scratched the surface of one of the wilder nights of the season at Petco Park. We'll get into all of that right after Kelly Danick's traffic on a Wednesday morning. Ben and Woods, Tier 1s, appreciate you joining us early on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now give me an example of, I mean, you said scared baseball may not be exactly the right term for it, but what you saw in the game last night and what Letters to AJ wrote about. Because I saw a game that, you know, was frustrating, but I didn't think either team lost it. I thought the Astros won it at the end by executing in the 10th inning where the Padres just couldn't get that run in. Not, you know, that's going to happen in baseball. Where did you see it kind of maybe the mistakes being made or something that could have been done differently?
I think the thing that bothered me the most, and it happened early in the game, was Kyle Higashioka trying to pull off a safety squeeze. When Kyle Higashioka has he hits plenty of fly balls, again, playing for one run there doesn't seem smart, especially that early. That to me was like we're panicking to get a run off of Hunter Brown, who was fine. I mean, he was fine. Like it's not like you're going up against.
I mean, shut us down.
He did, but like
11 or 12 straight.
You got good swings off of him. I mean, I feel like if it's a playoff game and you're going up against the creme de la creme in baseball, and you got your 9-hole hitter up and you have first and third with one or none.
One, I think.
One.
Because
that's right.
You were avoiding the potential double play grounder to end the inning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which Kyle Higashioka's hit into some double plays. Guys will tend to do that. But Higgy, with 16 bombs to his credit, can lift the ball. Hard ground ball to the right side. You may not roll too. Like, there's a lot you can do there instead of playing for a safety squeeze, which, of course, he popped up on the first pitch, and now you have two outs, and you give him one away, and you're playing for one run. To me, in a game like that where, yes, it's an important win, and you can rest assured they saw all the results on the scoreboard right out to Mike Schilt's right. You see all the results of the game. You know the Dodgers have already lost to the Marlins. Thank you, by the way, to the Miami Marlins for taking it to Bobby Miller and the Dodgers last night.
All of our Tier 1 managers, Bud Black, taking it to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
So that game wasn't over yet. But
Lord's work.
But the Dodgers losing to the Marlins and having the Padres breathing down their necks actually made Dodger fans root for the Astros, who stole a World Series championship from them. So that, to me, was worth the price of admission, watching Dodger fans going, come on, Astros, come on, Astros. In September 17th, Dodger fans panicking about their lead in the West. This is worth the price of admission for me. It was fantastic. I loved it. I was eating it like, you know, the Zeke Elliott gif of him eating the series. That was me last night on Twitter. And so I just thought that play in particular. Now, that's the second time they've kind of taken the bat out of Higgy's hands in recent games. Remember when they pinch hit for Higgy that one game when it's like, oh, you didn't need to do that. Like, Higgy's come through for you. So that, to me, a little bit of, again, scared is not the right word. A little bit overly cautious, I think. And you know, so, hey.
Jurickson again, you know, threatening to lay down a bunch.
Just loves to threaten.
Ended up moving the runner over by pulling the ball. But you're not going to score by bunting a runner from second base. You can score if you're swinging the bat there.
Correct.
He did get the job done. He pulled the ball.
Yep, got the guy over.
You know, could have gotten through, though, which I'd rather have you swing.
Me too.
Pull the ball and have a chance of it getting through for a base hit that scores the run. Even a bunt single doesn't score the run. I mean, first and third would have been good, and it was a pretty good try down the line when he did it. Glad he abandoned that. So yeah, in that sense, yeah, I can see that. Hunter Brown was good, as Paulie said, but he only struck out three.
Yeah, man.
Padres hit some liners. They put the ball in play.
You can make contact off of him, and I just, again, like, I hate to nitpick. The season's been so fun. The guys are playing so well. I'm not coming in here to crap on them. I'm just saying it's something I noticed. Something I noticed last night is wow, that's a weird call. And make no mistake about it. That's not a Higgy, I'm going to lay one down. Because Crony on third needs to know, hey, man, I'm doing a safety squeeze here. That was called from the dugout 100%. And obviously, if he executes it, hey, great call. But playing for one run there, when you know you're going to need more than that, it just didn't make sense to me. So that's it. That's really it. That, and we can talk about the ninth inning, certainly, with Tyler Wade. And again, I think there's a logical reason.
Tenth inning.
I'm sorry. There's a logical reason for Tyler Wade taking what can only be described as a little league lead on a couple of different occasions. So, it was not their most crisp.
So you and me argued about that.
We did this morning.
A little bit. I'm curious to see what Ben says.
Yeah, I know what Ben's going to say.
There are so many facets to this game.
So many.
Let's get to it. Our Padres wrap-up is coming up next. We're going to need multiple segments, I think, just to tackle last night.
It's hard to organize
now. We got Adam Jones as our first guest at 7:35. That gives us an hour and a half. I don't know that that's enough time
to get
everything from last night.
But we will get to our Padres wrap-up, all of Jesse's highlights last night, continued thoughts just into our next hour. Try to get some take on Woods and Don't Do This, but it is a Big League Wednesday. As Paulie mentioned, Adam Jones, five-time All-Star and friend of the program, will join us at 7:35, while Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB insider, will be with us at 8:35. We'll pay off the Incorporator in that 8 o'clock hour as well. The word was
Engstrom.
And Jesse nailed it, as he always does. And then probably a lot more Padres talk in the 9 o'clock hour, plus a Rondle report. So there's your show for today. We will just scratch the surface on this game coming up next in our Padres wrap-up. So I write down some notes for every game, and usually there's like, you know, 8 or 9 lines of things. I must have 20 lines of notes on just last night's game alone. We'll jump into it with our Padres wrap-up, get the highlights, and then just start chipping away at everything that transpired last night at Petco Park.
Well, Benny, our buddy, family man, bro, makes a really good point. You know, I know people hate on John Boy a lot these days. He's had some things to say about the Padres fan base, and I get it. His breakdowns are second to none. And when this breakdown comes out, I'm going to be eating this thing like cheesecake, dude. I can't wait.
Some of his videos are like 2 to 4 minutes long. Some of them are like 10 to 15 minutes long.
This should be a 10-minute one.
Sometimes I'll watch them on my phone if they're the short ones. When they're the long 10-minute breakdowns, especially about the Padres,
strap in.
I'm going to cast this one to the TV.
Yes.
Get some popcorn.
It's going to be... I'm going to text Ryan Cohen right now. Like, tell your boss to get off his ass. We need this thing before the show ends. It was one of the wonkiest, craziest baseball games I've ever seen. from the get-go. I mean, it was bananas.
All right, we'll get into all of it. Pond Prairie's wrap-up and highlights right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Singleton inside outs this one into shallow left. Manny is back, not going to get there. It's a fair ball, bounces, rolls up against the side wall. Profar picks it up there, sends it into third base. But a bloop double the other way for John Singleton, plates Tucker, and the Astros have a 1-0 lead. Fernando dancing at second. Here's the 3-2. Manny swings, sends it in the air. Deep to left field. Hayward is back at the wall, looking up. Gonna go! Game-tying two-run homer for Manny Machado. And this place is going absolutely nuts. Tied at 2 against the Astros. Little taste of October here in mid-September. Bregman is on the way, and in the dirt, kicks away from Diaz, and Alvarez going to come in and score. He collides with Adam, who was covering the plate. It's a couple of big bodies coming together. And Houston goes in front, 3-2. It was ball four and a wild pick. First pitch to Merrill. Taken in the dirt outside, and it goes to the backstop. Here comes Fernando, and the game is tied. Josh Hader's first pitch back at Petco is a wild pitch. 1-1. Here's the pitch. And Altuve, it's a ground ball towards third. Manny's got it, and apparently a foul ball. Altuve says yes. The umpire says no, and they throw him out. And Altuve puts up his arms at Brennan Miller. Miller says, sorry, I got fair ball. And now Espada out to argue again. He's going to try and keep Altuve into the game. Machado saying, nah, 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 I know your game. Altuve is now taking his shoe off, and he's showing him, look, and he's been ejected. Oh, my goodness. Infield in with a runner on third, one out. Lefty, lefty. Kyle Tucker swings, muscles one into shallow left field. That'll dump down and a base hit. Kessinger trots home, and the Astros are back in front. It's 4-3 here in the 10th. 1-2 to Manny. Maris, couple looks back at Lockridge. Now the pitch on the way. Machado swings, hits it hard up the middle. Backhand stop. Kessinger flips to Pena in time at second, and the ball game is over. A rocket off the bat of Manny Machado, and Kessinger, who, by the way, is a much better defender than Altuve, with a great defensive play to end the game.
Yeah, I mean, those are the fun ones. You know, back and forth, a lot of strategy, a lot of situations. Yeah, it was, you know, very entertaining ball game. A lot took place.
A little October baseball in September there. I mean, that definitely had a playoff type feel last night.
Yeah, I mean, you want your playoff games to end the other way, certainly, but holy smokes, man, I don't know how you can watch that game and be mad. Certainly you can look at it and say, should have done this, should have, could have, would have, but...
I think I'm mad. I'm more mad if it's a playoff game, because you just don't want to drop any playoff games. That one, I'm like, man, they just won four in a row. That game really could have gone either way. That was a wild, horribly umpired game.
I mean, from Jump Street.
It was
Brennan.
Unbelievable.
Brennan. We gotta have our fate in the hands of somebody named Brennan last night. That dude looked like he belonged. I mean, what do they say in Bull Durham? You're Sears and Roebuck material. He lost. Benny, he did not have control of that game from like the third pitch.
Yeah, it's one thing. Every umpire is going to make some mistakes. I understand that. Nobody's perfect. He completely lost control of the game, the flow, the timing, the reviews they had to make. None of it was even by the book, I think. I mean, he went outside the norms of baseball because they were so, so confused on some situations. And that really did mar what otherwise was a unbelievably exciting and entertaining game, and I don't think it cost the Padres the game necessarily. If any team had more reason to complain about the umpiring, it was probably the Astros.
No question.
In that game, but unintended consequences, and Jesse pointed it out at the end, the ejection of Altuve, which probably should have never happened. The ball did tick off his foot. I thought it was pretty clear on the replay. You could see the change in angle when it went off of his foot. The ejection then did lead to Gray Kessinger going into the game. And Gray Kessinger, as Jesse pointed out, a much better fielder. We'll never know what would have happened, right. But my guess is that Jose Altuve doesn't make that play on Manny Machado in the 10th inning, and the Padres get a two-run single and walk it off and win it 5-4.
Kessinger is also 3 feet taller than Jose Altuve. A full 3 feet. That's my estimation. That's just I'm spitballing here. And that ball took that high hop. That ball probably bounces over Jose Altuve. Great play. Got to tip your hat to Kessinger. What a brilliant play to end the game. Manny hit the ball hard, right up the middle, just what he's supposed to do there. Just didn't work out. I thought, obviously, you know, you can look to that inning and pull your hair out with Altuve's at bat, and especially Fernando's at bat was kind of tough one to stomach. But Fernando had gotten a big knock, tied the game. You know, so listen, it is what it is. It's baseball. That's how it works out. But yeah, man, I think, you know, the other thing to talk about certainly is when you put Tyler Wade in to run, and our buddy Letters to AJ wrote about it this morning, risk aversion. And you remember recently Tyler Wade getting put in to pinch run at first base in a close game. And what happened to Tyler Wade? He got picked off. So that is 1,000% in the back of Tyler Wade's mind. It's also in the back of Mike Schilt's mind. Of, ooh, all right, we got to make sure. And, you know, you coaches do this. They'll give you, they'll look out at you when you're on base and give you like the, you know, take an inch, don't. Or they'll give you the expand, bigger, more. This one was very clearly, and there's pretty video evidence of it. There was almost no secondary lead from Tyler.
So again, if you didn't stay up all the way, here's the situation. Astros score in the top of the 10th. It's 4-3. Tyler Wade is out on second base, immediately moves to third base on a wild pitch.
Yes.
So nobody out, tying run at third, and Elias Diaz is at the plate. There's a wild, well, not a wild pitch, but a pitch that gets about 10 to 15 feet away from the catcher on the first base side.
Yeah, bounced, shot kind of up the first base line.
Right.
But I think what had happened, and Paulie and I watched, we literally did Zapruder film on this morning, pausing it every step of the way. I think the ball checked up.
Yeah, it had like some spin on it.
I think it checked up.
Like, I'd say 8 or 9 times out of 10, I feel like that ball rolls towards like the Padres dugout, and it just died.
And
he already didn't have the secondary, because you can see there's a camera angle where you can see him start to take off, and then he stops as if he saw that ball just die in the grass.
And I think that was the right read.
Naris got a late break to cover, right? Tyler Wade is a speedy, speedy dude, and I feel like on the pitch, if he is doing the proper secondary and he's 1-2 go on that, I think he scores. And I think he scores standing up.
But I think you're trying to win the game in the 10th
yes,
inning.
Yes.
And one run doesn't win the game; it ties it, which is great. But then you have the bases empty, nobody on, and you have to put together a rally just from scratch. To me, the one thing you can't do is get thrown out there. Because then you get the bases empty, one out, and you're down by one. If you're going to win the game, you're going to score anyway at some point.
100%.
So I do believe that caution is probably the best strategy in that situation. And then Diaz goes on to walk, so it's first and third.
Well, and even with his secondary, when I saw a different angle, I saw Bregman playing pretty close to the bag.
He's on the grass. I'm looking at it right now. He's on the grass.
If Wade gets any further, a ground ball to Bregman, he's out.
Yeah, potentially.
I mean, it's just like...
Well, and the next play I didn't have that much of a problem with. The ground ball up the middle to Peña, who turned around and was to fire.
Yeah, yeah.
He was ready to fire, looked him back, which is what he's supposed to do. I'm actually, for once, fairly happy they did not put the contact play on there, because I feel like every time the Padres run the contact play, our guys get thrown out at home by 10 feet. But for me, the pass ball, if you've got a good secondary and you are 1-2 hop on your way to home, I think Tyler Wade scores that run easy.
Here's Schilt was asked about that particular play.
Did you think, kind of blanking on who hit the ground ball, but it wasn't a contact play, obviously, there for Wade. What kind of went in?
Nobody out, no. No contact at that point. You know, he's reading the hop, a little tighter. You know, just didn't want to make the out at home with the first out. And, you know, we got Toddy and Pro and Manny coming up.
That's it. That's it. I mean, that's it. Asked and answered. Again, I think that is a play, the one on the pass ball. That's on the base runner. You know, the base runner needs to decide, did I get a good enough secondary? Was my momentum going in the right way? Did it get farther? Did it get far enough away? And is that pitcher late to cover? I really think that's the one he could have scored on. But again, hindsight is 20/20. Very easy for my fat ass to sit in here and say he should have scored.
I guess if he goes and gets thrown out,
We're living.
Then that's
we're living.
I'm looking at it like you can't make the first effing out.
Paul,
and play.
With look who's coming up.
Right.
You're an idiot.
Right.
Get this guy off the team. Right. I'm not gonna penalize a guy for not being overly aggressive. But again, the name of that blog is Risk Aversion. I think Schilte wanted them pretty close to the bag, man. I think because we think these guys are going to come through.
Tatis then strikes out for the second out, and you know three pitches, and Neris threw some good pitches there after having no control at the start of the inning. That frustrating, but you know that is going to happen. So then Jurickson Profar comes up, and on the very first pitch of the at bat, he comes up high and tight. And Brennan, the umpire, rules hit by pitch. Jurickson looks confused. The Astros look irate. Jurickson doesn't even go try to take his base. But, you know, the umpire is telling you, no, go to first. The play gets challenged. And I saw somewhere, I assumed it was the Astros who challenged. I saw somewhere there was the Padres challenged it, which would have been very bizarre. You don't usually challenge your own guy getting hit by a pitch.
A free base.
But Profar had no interest in actually going to first, but ultimately, even though the replay seemed to show that it didn't hit him, they did not overturn the call, and they gave Jurickson Profar first base, then loading the bases there for Manny Machado. Jurickson was, he wasn't happy about it. You could even see at the end of the game, after Manny's ground out up the middle of the force out, he was chirping at someone. He turned
the umps,
around. You
I
could
think.
See. I don't know if it was the umps, if it was the Astros.
Teams, well, you heard on the broadcast, they were showing like the high five line or something after the game, but you could hear some reaction. And then I think Don or Tony said, like, oh, the Astros bench is still giving it to the umpires because they have to walk right by the third base dugout to go to their locker room.
I'm not going
to
steal your line. Because it was such a good line, steal it.
No, go ahead.
No, I want you to deliver it. Do you remember which one
no,
I'm talking about?
I have no idea. That's why I told you to go ahead and deliver it.
No. It's,
you take the credit. Yeah.
Very rare that an umpire makes a call that pisses off both teams.
Yes.
Both teams were livid. Both teams. How often does that happen? When an umpire makes a call and both teams are like, you idiot, clean it up.
There should be a mechanism where if everybody on the field in both dugouts agrees it's a bad call, just go ahead and overturn it. Like,
just
no one's happy with this.
Again, man, Brennan, whatever his last name is a human being. Brennan, you had a bad game in the big leagues last night. It was really bad, and it started early, and you didn't finish clean, and it was, I mean, unintended consequences all night, certainly. I mean, and again, the ball four to Manny, I guess I'm very thankful he did not call that pitch a ball. The next one I thought was in the zone. And then, of course, Manny just pounds one out, ties the game. And that sounded weird. I thought
the worst, most egregious mistake, though, was the pitch clock violation against Hader on the disengagement. And then the 5-6 minute delay in trying to figure out what happened.
And they didn't even give him a ball, right?
They didn't. They gave him a disengagement instead,
yeah.
Which it was. It was.
I think it was.
He stepped off with 2 seconds left on the clock.
Yep.
There was a runner on, so he's allowed to do that. It's one disengagement. It's not a pitch clock violation.
Yep.
And, you know, if I'm the Astros and I'm the fans, I'm mad that Hader then has to sit out there for 5 minutes before throwing his first pitch, which, of course, is then uncorked as a wild pitch and scores Fernando Tatis Jr. with a tying run in the bottom of the eighth.
How about old Schilte walking out just to make sure I can get, I don't know,
the 30
two
seconds.
More minutes of icing this guy? Old Schilte walks out there. And,
very calmly.
I need a little clarification on this one, if you could, please, sir, which he's absolutely in his right to do. Josh Hader was a kicker. Mike Schilt was calling his timeout right as he was getting ready to deliver the kick. And I thought it was really, really brilliant. We will talk about Josh Hader and don't do this today, certainly. Had some quotes after the game that certainly don't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. Maybe it makes sense in his mind, but a lot of Padre fans were reaching out about this, certainly. But hey,
some of the biggest, loudest boos of the season
that I've ever heard at Petco
for Josh Hader and his entrance there in the eighth inning, which, of course, he's coming in for a four-out save.
Of course,
there was no way he was ever coming in for a three-out save when the possibility of a four-out save existed for Josh Hader San Diego.
You guys want me to do everything? Is that what you want? You want me to do everything around here? Holy smokes. What a game. What a game. What a again, and I told Paulie this morning. I go, hey, man, you know, after a 4-3 loss, kind of a heartbreaker, and you had some opportunities, I said, this team can play with anyone. They are not intimidated by anyone. They have done a really good job at holding some of the big guys from the Astros in check. Michael King, we have not even mentioned his name. Michael King was
hell of a performance.
Brilliant. He's brilliant. And I just am very confident when he takes the mound, man. And I'm not blaming Adrian Morejon at all. That's a really gnarly situation to get put in, and you know, did a pretty good job. I think, you know, again, the bullpen has been great. The starting pitching has been fantastic.
Astros are a really good team.
They're a really good team, man, and they've got skins on the wall. Those guys know how to win.
Well,
so,
and we've said this morning was that felt like a playoff game. Who's played more playoff games than the Houston Astros in the last 8 years?
No kidding.
Like, they are built for those moments.
100%.
Good preparation for the Padres. 100%.
Yes. And for all of us.
All right. We haven't really even gotten into the Altuve ejection. We've got a little more from Jesse on that as well. We'll get to that to start our second hour, then play a little Take on Woods. Don't go away. This is the kind of show you don't want to miss a minute of Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.